Saturday Night Theatre.
A week ago, the cousins, Martello himself to be precise, told me we had less than 3 months to complete Operation Dolphin.
3 months? It's no business of Martello's, Smiley.
Well, you told them to push off, didn't you, George?
Martello's headquarters has informed the, what are they now called, Peter?
The Drug Enforcement Administration, the old Bureau of Narcotics.
Thank you. Has told them of the Moscow gold seam money running to Hong Kong and Drake Coe.
Well, the American narcotics people have been after Coe for years. Before they could put a name to him, even.
Yes, indeed, Sam. Now they not only know who he is, but know he is being paid by Moscow to ship drugs into Red China and thus help to subvert that country.
They're simpletons, mad simpletons.
Puritans, Doc, Puritans.
George, how ridiculous. They want to arrest him.
Oh, yes, they'll jump on him when he's in Thailand or anywhere outside our jurisdiction. Their plans will be ready in 3 months.
So, what do we do, George?
The Honourable Schoolboy by John le Carré, dramatised in two parts by Frederick Bradnam, with Martin Jarvis as Jerry Westerby, Peter Vaughan as George Smiley, and Natasha Pine as Lizzie. Part 2.
Well, you've all read my note about Ricardo's resurrection and his aborted flight to the Chinese mainland, I take it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been established that the beach craft flown by Ricardo was bought by a Bangkok company, of which Drake Coe's manager, Tu, is the managing director. I think we can assume that Ricardo's mission was arranged by Coe. The beach craft, by the way, was a four-seater twin-engine plane.
Four seats? So Ricardo was to bring a body from the mainland. Is that your surmise, Smiley?
Ah, yes. Although we don't know yet if Nelson Coe is still alive.
Oh, he's alive, all right.
But we still need proof. Now, over the last few days, Craw has cabled us from Hong Kong with details of the journeys Tu has recently made to the Chinese mainland. They point to quite a flurry of activity. The next phase, therefore, rises from this. Our problem is to break the stalemate. Now, as I've said, we can visit Drake Coe whenever we like, but we cannot move him. Now we must. I propose to do this by turning our tactic inside out. For the Dolphin case is worthless until resolved. In other words, we declare to Coe our interest in his affairs.
You're going to light a fire on his doorstep and see which way he runs, aren't you, George, darling?
We have to set about shaking Coe's tree to see what falls out. Schoolboy is to climb the tree. But stress to him this is a dangerous task. Suggests the first stage is to approach the lady in the case with tales of Ricardo and Russian gold.
Super. Gosh. Oh, marvellous. I've held my water so long, sport, I'm almost waterlogged.
It's a straight foot-in-the-door operation, Your Grace. You shove your way in there and start pitching and don't stop till you're out on the other side.
I'm supposed to have bought whiskey from her in Vientiane.
Right.
And so did how many?
Lizzie Worthington sold in all a cool 55 kegs of the blushful Hippocrene, Your Grace. Mm. Every one of them to a male buyer, and a fair number of them with service thrown in. Gives a new meaning to the term good measure, I venture to suggest.
Oh, there must have been a big, ugly bugger a bit like me among them, don't you reckon, Craw, old friend?
You've got to convince her there was, and it was you. And remember, Jerry, Coe owns Star Heights. You're going into the man's own building to seek out his round eye. Take care.
Oh, sure, sport. I'll buy some flowers for her. When you're my size, you have to have a hell of a good reason for whatever you do.
Evening. Social rush hour time. Chinese porter wonders, should he let me in? Well, American matrons go for flowers.
My, what lovely blooms. Are you visiting the Hammersteins too?
Not that I know of. Excuse me, I must catch this lift.
Eighth floor for Lizzie. And we're here, sport. Wait about. Should be out any memento. Cross said she leaves about now for American club on the dot every Monday. Male American advancing. Give him a nod.
You're looking for me with those things?
Well, I don't think so, actually. Apartment 9D, actually.
Wrong floor. You want one up.
And he departs by lift. 8C is the one. It opens. Here she comes, sport. Sees you not. And here we go.
Lizzie! Hey, Lizzie! It's me, Jerry.
Who? What?
Lizzie Worthington, House of Whiskey. Remember me, Jerry, chum of Tiny Ricardo's? 150-gallon keg with my name on the label, all painted above board.
Jerry!
Westerby, news hound. You put the bite on me in the consolation bar. I wanted a spot of loving comfort, all I got was a keg of whiskey.
Oh, of course, Jerry, darling. How could I possibly... What are you doing in Hong Kong, my God?
Oh, usual beat, fire, pestle and famine. How about you? Retired, I should think, with your sales methods. Well, how do you like Hong Kong, Lizzie?
I adore it, Jerry. I simply adore it. Vientiane seems, centuries away. You know Rick died.
I did hear. Are you going anywhere in particular this evening?
Only to the club. It's hen night. I have a nice red car waiting.
Say, mind if I ride in the back?
Why not? Why did you do that? Why did you turn the engine off?
Lizzie, I cannot tell a lie. I'm a viper in your nest.
You are? How?
Our chance reunion was not entire chance. My paper told me to run you to earth and ask you questions regarding your late chum, Ricardo.
But Ricardo's dead.
The comic is in possession of a hot tip that he's alive after all.
But that's absolutely absurd.
Oh, agreed. Totally. The consolation prize is 2 dozen well-thumbed orchids and the best dinner in town.
I want to cry. Forgive me. It's just, when you love a man and he dies, then one evening, out of the blue...
Sure. I'm sorry.
Why be sorry? If he's alive, that's a bonus. If he's dead, nothing's changed. We're on a pound to nothing. Rick always said he was indestructible. Well, where are you going to take me?
You tell me the best.
There's a new place that's very good. Oh, and when I get there, I must phone my hen party girlfriend, Jerry.
Those little scars on your lovely chin, left and right. What did it? How did you get them?
Oh, hunting innocent foxes. My dear papa was horse mad. He still is, I'm afraid.
Where does he live?
Daddy? Oh, the usual tumble-down schloss in Shropshire. Miles too big, but they won't move. No staff, no money. Ice cold 3/4 of the year. Mummy can't even boil an egg. Isn't this place nice?
Spot on. Did you get your hen party, friend?
Of course. Go on about Rick.
Well, Ricardo's crash. No one found a body. No one found wreckage. And there's talk he was doing an opium run. There's rumours he's been seen recently. Grown a beard. A girl in Bangkok claimed early last month that Ricardo was the father of her child, newborn, which would make it an 18-month pregnancy.
It wasn't Rick's way to run, Jerry.
The whole world was going for him. That whiskey selling was only honest on your part. The distillers, the creditors, the law, local community, every one of them was going for him. Till one day, bingo, writs withdrawn, shades of prison recede. Who's the mystery angel? Who bought his debt?
Oh, Oh, Mr. Tew! What a marvellous coincidence. It's Mr. Tew.
Oh, Lisa, what? You all right?
Do come and join us, Mr. Tew. He's interviewing me, Mr. Tew, all about Vientiane and the poor pilot I tried to help 100 years ago. Jerry, this is a very good friend of mine who helps look after me.
Yeah, we met at the race course.
Sure, sure. You're the horse rider, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Tew, you're my witness. You must remember every word I say. Jerry, go straight on, just as if he wasn't here.
She'd have to summon Tew. Mr. Tew is as silent as the circus. Oh, Ricardo's too hot for her land.
It's so exciting.
Still, Tew is a gift from
now,
the gods.
Do just
Tew,
sit there.
Straight to Co.
Waiter! Waiter! Do have the beef, Mr. Tew. We can have such a friendly chat, can't we?
So, what you looking for, Mr. Westby? You're a horse rider. Why you bother pretty girls, okay?
Good point, sport. Horses much safer, right?
He's looking for Ricardo, Mr. Tew. He thinks Ricardo is alive.
Lisa, tell you that. She tell you Ricardo's still around.
Who, old boy? I didn't get that first name.
Lisa. She tell you.
Oh, Lizzie. No, she didn't tell me. I never reveal sources, Mr. Tew, which is sometimes a journalist's way of saying he's made something up.
A horse rider's way. Okay.
That's it.
Oh, listen, Jerry. Ricardo was so lucky. He got into the most frightful debt, and suddenly my lovely dotty Chinese friends, who ran Indo-Charter, such a funny little airline, decided they needed another charter pilot. They settled his debts, they gave him an old banger to fly.
Lizzie, when Ricardo went missing, he wasn't flying an old banger. He was flying a brand new Beechcraft. Indo-Charter never had a Beechcraft of their names. My editor checked it through.
Hey, Mr. Westby. Maybe Lisa stole them, an aircraft. Maybe she go out night and steal aircraft.
Mr. Tew, that's very naughty of you. But it was a complete fairy tale. I mean, one moment, Rick owing us all money, my allowance from Daddy included, and the next thing we knew, he had work. He was in the clear. All those other pilots grounded and Rick flying all over the place
like a blue-ass fly.
Hey, what's a pretty good blue-ass fly. I like that.
Thank you, sport. What would Indo-Charter like to work for, Lizzie?
Fabulous. It was pioneering, which is what drew them to me in the first place. I mean, I could perfectly well have simply lived off Daddy or my aunts.
Hmm.
All we started out with was a couple of dreadful old DC-3s, literally stuck together with string and chewing gum. And we flew anything. Cars, vegetables, pigs.
There's a story that you people had some local Russian embassy link in Vientiane. That ring a bell at all?
Russians? Why on earth should Russians come to us? They had their own flights in and out.
Not even local run?
Never. Well, how could we? Besides, the Chinese simply loathe the Russians, don't they, Mr. Tew?
Russian pretty bad people, Mr. Westby. They smell pretty bad.
Hmm. My editor's convinced he can do a story about Ricardo's Soviet paymasters.
Paymasters? What are you talking about, Jerry?
Yeah, my editor, Liz, it's his idea. The man may be mad, but he's sure that Indo-Charter drew money from the local Russian embassy and piped it down to Hong Kong in US dollars.
They're mad. I've never heard such nonsense.
You want to stick to horse riding? Hear that? In my opinion, you'll get more money that way, Mr. Westby. Okay?
Dealing with beautiful women, said Craw, is like dealing with known criminals. And the lady you're about to solicit undoubtedly falls into that category. Elizabeth Worthington, a criminal? Ah, she's done some things... A known criminal? Yes. Known, I'd go along with, absolutely. See it like this. The way she stared at the beastly Tew. A caged stare. Caged. I've known that face, and that look, and that dependence all my life also. I've known you, so it seems, all my life, Lizzie. I've been waiting to meet you all my life, Lizzie. And now I have, I don't mean to ignore the signs. You're my sort of woman, Lizzie.
So, Monsignor Wisby, Mr. Chew, whom God preserve, got the message.
Clear and loud, Craw.
You're convinced Lizzie Worthington knew nothing of the Russian money? Not a single thing, Jerry?
I'm sure, Sport. She knew Ricardo wasn't dead. She acted as though he was and had come alive. But the Indo-Charter Russian money surprise wasn't acting.
And Brother Chew?
As I said, he understood. The Beechcraft knowledge caused him thought just a moment before the bad joke that Lisa stole it.
What's his attitude to Lizzie?
Pure contempt, old Sport. He wouldn't walk a yard to help her. Probably blames her for knowing Ricardo. Sometimes she looks at him like a caged animal. She's in a trap. She knows it.
Chew could have shut her up, Your Grace, but chose not to. You got anything else on your mind?
Yes. I walked past Star Heights last night around 11, coming from the press club.
Yeah?
There was a man sitting in a car parked in the mid-levels under a street lamp with a good view of Lizzie's windows above him, right? Sam Collins is his name, and I'd like to know, Sport, what the hell Sam Collins is doing in Hong Kong, let alone keeping surveillance on Lizzie's flat.
Message from Craw, George. Schoolboy has spotted Sam Collins outside Star Heights, wants to know, and so on.
Yes. I take it Craw has told him what we agreed, Peter?
Oh, yes. The Collins is no longer with us, left under a cloud, all of the ploy we passed to him. Schoolboy, it appears, is not completely satisfied.
That's rather worrying. Cable Craw to keep a close eye on Schoolboy. Very close.
Right.
Now, does Salas and Connie do you any moment? They've traced Nelson Coe. Did you know?
I heard rumours, George. He is alive.
Oh, very much so. Come.
Hello, darling.
Hello. Hello, hello. Ah, yes, Molly, you also. Good. Yeah. Now, sit down, everyone, please. Ah, how are you, Colin?
This weather, George, darling, gives me hell.
No one else, George?
No, Peter, you can lock us in.
All right. Yeah. There you are, Doc.
Good. Floor is yours, DeSalis.
Nelson Coe, also known as Coe Sheng Siu, and later as Yao Kai Sheng. But we shall call him Nelson. We know from the missionary Hibbert of Nelson's early years, which in Nelson's official biography is dismissed as exploitation at the hands of Western imperialists in childhood, when he was poisoned by religion. He left Shanghai in 53, went to Leningrad and studied engineering and shipbuilding until 56, where he came under the protection of Ivan Bretlev. Connie.
Academician, Leningrad Faculty of Shipbuilding, latter-day talent spot of Carla.
1957, returned to Shanghai.
Doc, 56 to 57, a year.
A tour of Soviet shipyards is the official explanation.
Spirited off to Carla's training school, George, unofficially.
57. Was that before or after the Sino-Soviet split, Doc?
Before. The split began in earnest in 59.
So we can assume that after Carla's training, he went back to China as a mole, right?
He did well for himself. Seats on various naval planning committees. Molly.
Well, by 63, his name pops up regularly in the Cousins Peking Watch reports.
So, until the Cultural Revolution, he was on his way. Mao's madness disgraced him. 67, this. The usual grim story, one supposes, Chief. The dunce's cap spat on in the streets, indoctrination camps, labour education, his family beaten up.
When did he start his way back?
He was back in Shanghai by 1970, probably doing menial jobs. But he soon started to be functional again. He has what Peking needs most. Brains, technical know-how, experience. He was formally rehabilitated in January 73.
Let me see. Payments to Drake Coe have their beginnings in when? Mid-72, and they rise steeply in mid-73.
Oh, the more Nelson knows, the more he can tell, the more he gets.
His rehabilitation was swift. By June of 73, he's acting in an unknown capacity with the Central Committee of the Chinese Communist Party.
Holy smoke!
That is not all. Molly.
A report from the cousins of strong reliability has him down as an advisor to the Munitions and Ordnance Board of the Ministry of Defence.
We can regard this as one of the key positions in the whole of the Chinese administration. He would know things like the total capacity of their shipyards. He could tell us of their submarine potential. And there is more. Recently he's become a member of a body set up to coordinate the Chinese intelligence effort, something we ourselves know absolutely nothing about. That's all, Smiley.
Thank you, Doc. Nelson Coe is a prize worth having. And his motive, Doc, why should he still work for Carla?
Oh, really, George, darling, he has to. Blackmail an enormous reward, steak and carrot.
But how do you see it, Doc?
He's Chinese, he's pragmatic, he's Drake's brother. He knows very well his market value to the Russian service.
$500,000 US?
Oh, yes. He can't get out of China yet, but it is there against the day when he will.
Drake tried to get him out once, but Ricardo failed him. Drake may have better luck next time. He may try Ricardo again. Yes, Peter, schoolboy's next step must be Ricardo.
Yes, George.
Have the cousins run him to earth yet, Molly?
Oh, they're almost sure he's still in Laos, near Vientiane.
Thank you. Doc?
I wanted to add, Chief, when the Cultural Revolution came, many people in Nelson's position believed Mao had gone mad. Nelson was always a Russian admirer. The humiliations he suffered under Mao made him conform outwardly, but inwardly he remained a bitter, vengeful man. I think this is likely.
Do the Chinese mention Drake Coe anywhere, Doc?
In the latter biographies, a brother is said to have died in Shanghai in 1949, at the time of the communist takeover.
Nelson is Carla's mole. He's sitting on a priceless crock of Chinese intelligence. Now, that alone we could do it. He's acting on Carla's orders, and the orders themselves are of inestimable value to us. They'll show us precisely how much the Russians know about their Chinese enemy. We could take back bearings galore. Now, if Drake Coe returns to his plans to get Nelson out of China, our mission is clear. Let us hope that by shaking Drake's tree, we force him to act. Thank you.
George, this cable arrived from the floor just as the meeting is beginning. I've only just read it.
Thank you, Peter. Now, wait a moment, everyone, will you? The man Frost, the banker whom schoolboy forced the information on the gold seam count from, has been found dead. A long death, it seemed. Torture and mutilation. Death by strangulation.
We've drawn them, dear.
Yes, indeed. The response to shaking Coe's tree is more than expected. Operationally, we've advanced the case. However, we have his ugly death on our shoulders.
Trouble was, Frost had nothing to betray. It's the worst that can happen to anyone. He could only give them the name of one journalist, schoolboy, which they had already.
Is schoolboy at risk, Doc?
Not in my opinion. In Coe's eyes, schoolboy is only a journalist. By removing one journalist, he will not remove the risk. On the contrary, he will bring out the whole pack.
Yes, you're probably right, but I'd like schoolboy away from Hong Kong before much longer. Once he's away, perhaps Coe will relax a little. Yes, Connie?
What about Sam Collins, George? Have you had thoughts?
Sam is to stand by, do nothing until he has the green light. He knows that. He may not be needed. It all depends on how Coe jumps. Molly, will you please ask the cousins to step up their surveillance on both Coe and Hugh? No street work, though. No frightening the game. No nonsense of that kind.
Yes, Mr. Smiley.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Peter, need to draft a cable to Craw. Tell him to put schoolboy on standby to go to Ricardo.
Yes, George. I suppose Schoolboy has heard about Frost.
Oh, yes. Let's hope he doesn't take things to heart too much.
The bank is offering a reward of 50,000 Hong Kong dollars.
They took weeks. Killed him twice. Poor little Frosty. Once to make him talk, once to shut him up.
A vicious case of mugging.
Give or take a little. I, Gerald Westerby, killed him.
He was a loyal servant of the bank.
Sorry, Frosty. Sorry. But boy, oh boy, have we shaken the tree.
When writing about this, I hope you will remember the reputation of the bank.
Are you listening, Your Grace?
The smell in my flat this evening. Tews smell. Foraging.
The message is you're to gird your loins, ready to leave beautiful exotic Hong Kong.
Tew going through the flat. Would they use me like Frosty was used? For the fun of it.
Gerald, Your Grace, you will be required to take your press man's arse to Laos. Visit one Ricardo. Savvy.
Leave Lizzie to the horrible Mr. Tew.
Are you listening? They don't want you to finish up like that poor bugger Frost, for one thing.
Leave Lizzie to Sam Bloody Collins, too. White slaver as well,
so
probably.
So take care. You keep in. No late nights.
Lizzie, who has soft, fine blonde hair on her spine.
You're to discover Ricardo's plans, Monsignor, and shake the tree hard. Tell him about Brother Nelson, Co.
And they won't want you back in Hong Kong, sport.
With ease thoughts of what is going on here, Jerry, from what you are pleased to call your mind. Orders.
They won't want you anywhere but London.
You can talk to Ricardo about Mrs. Worthington, and that is all you will do about Mrs. Worthington, Monsignor. Orders.
If we live through things, Lizzie, where shall we meet?
I pray and hope you have taken some of this in, Your Grace.
It's all in to be here, George. Look, old boy, now is the time, surely, when you should go to Martello and make a clean breast of things. Tell him about Nelson Coe, ask him to take over the rest of the operation. You've no real resources, have you, George? And think of the good it'll do us in the years to come with our American friends.
Do you mind walking with me to the cousins, Molly?
Not at all, Mr. Smiley. It's a fine day.
Yeah.
Peter tells me that all is deadly quiet in Hong Kong.
Yes, yes, it is. Cow and his man, Tew, seem to be waiting for something. And we cannot let them wait much longer.
Well, that zeal of the land narcotics man, Sol, will arrest everyone in sight.
Oh, yes. He'll have to wait for Co to leave Hong Kong, though, which could well be quite the wrong time for us, that is.
Mr. Martello will be bursting with Highland air, I suppose, after his weekend.
Scotland? Weekend? What does he do there, do you know?
Fishes. Sir Saul Enderby has a bit of water there, as they say. Ed says Martello supplies the plane, Enderby the fish.
So they're friendly, are they?
Oh, it has burgeoned recently, Mr. Smiley. Since Enderby remarried, so I'm told.
Why is that? Does he want to get away from his new wife?
She's an American, too. Rich Washington hostess. Knows Martello from some way back.
I see, I see. No wonder Enderby wishes me to tell Marty about Nelson Coe. I don't think I have to, do you? Enderby's done it for me. I wouldn't be surprised. Tell me what you make of this, Dog.
I'll do my best, Chief.
Surveillance on Drake Coe. On Saturday, he phoned a friend with whom he plays golf every Sunday morning. He cancelled the golf, pleading a pressing business engagement. At 5:30 on Sunday morning, 5:30, Doc, he went off in his Rolls Royce to a seedy spirit temple off the Hollywood Road, where his fortune teller operates, a venerable old Swartonese, so I'm told. Now, Doc, why does Coe visit his fortune teller at 6 on a Sunday morning?
My dear Smiley, a man of Coe's eminence would always insist on being the first client in a fortune-teller's day.
I see. You mean...
Because the fortune-teller's mind is clear, and the intimations of the spirits can be received better by a clear, fresh mind.
We shall never know the questions Coe put. The directional mic only picked up the fortune teller's chicken.
Such an early visit suggests a matter of importance. When the spirits point to the best time for action, for instance. Days or weeks ahead, Smiley.
Come to collect me, cruel old sport.
I thought I might find you here, Jerry.
Super club, this. Marvellous. Fantastic balls.
Did you walk here by any chance?
Just so. From past Starry Heights, funnily enough. And there was dear old Sam sitting in his car watching Liz's windows. Reading a sporting newspaper, actually.
There were no shadows on your path, I hope, Gerald.
Didn't see a thing. Didn't feel a thing. Instinct, you know, Craw, old sport, is what I go by.
Even when you're in a fairly intoxicated condition, Your Grace?
What?
However, all appears as quiet as a graveyard after the last trump.
Not a Chinaman to be seen. It can go on forever and
we have ever. Our orders, Jerry. They've just arrived. In the morning, you're to set course for Ricardo.
Good old George. Always comes to the rescue. Do we know where the said Mexican hangs out, or do I have to shout in people's ears?
He's been pinpointed absolutely, but it won't be an easy journey.
Eh? Good. Well, better get back. Tell old Luke he can have my flat until I return. Good old Lukey. American news hound, you know.
Where's Cole gone to, George? Where's he sailed away to?
Why ask me questions you know I can't answer, Marty?
Look, I wanted a helicopter over them. You said no helicopter.
My dear Marty, I can't imagine why you're panicking.
I'm concerned, George. Concerned, that's all.
How many days has Cole been going out? Peter, what is the pattern?
The first time was 4 days ago, in his cruiser, the Admiral Nelson, with Tew. They sailed out in the morning, came back that evening at dusk. An overheard conversation suggested they'd been swanning around the Hong Kong Islands, no more. They did exactly the same thing for the next 2 days, coming back each time on a different tack. This morning, their time, Admiral Nelson set out again, as usual, and so far hasn't returned. It's been gone 22 hours. It's now 07 hours Hong Kong time.
Thank you, Peter. There's no reason why the Admiral Nelson should not remain at sea for a number of days. She is an ocean-going cruiser, after all.
Probably been picked up by the Chinese Navy.
Willem? Yes, that's all? Yes, sir. He's here, of course. George, it's Enderby, doing his nut.
Smiley here? No, not yet. Schoolboy only left 3 days ago. He's hardly had time to reach Ricardo yet, you know. I don't think Drake Coe has any interest in visiting China. Excuse me, Saul. Something's coming through from Hong Kong now. Excuse me.
When? God. I'll tell them. The Admiral Nelson has just docked in the main harbour.
Is Coe on her?
They didn't call until Coe had been seen. He's disembarked with his Lisa and Tew.
I wonder where they've been. Well, Marty, schoolboy should reach Ricardo by tomorrow, all being well. I think, Peter, it is time Sam Collins went in. Let him know, please.
I will, George.
I think you know what it is, Marty, don't you?
You're a bastard, Sam. You always were.
It's all for old time's sake, Lizzie. Happy days in Vientiane.
I'll not betray Drake, Sam. Never. He's kept faith by me.
Nobody's asking you to, Lizzie. It'll be the last thing. Drake Coe's a big fish. Friend of the governor. OBE. Much respected. No one's going to touch Drake, Lizzie. Mr. Tew is another matter. He's the manager.
Drugs.
That's it. Same as you once smuggled for Ricardo. Only on a much larger scale.
And for you, you bastard.
I'm not forgetting, dear girl.
Drake has had my police record destroyed, so you
can't...
Be
your age, Lizzie. We could run you up another one tomorrow. Make it more adventurous. Put it alongside Teal's form. Where would you be then?
I used to respect you in Vientiane, and now you blackmail me. I'm a loser, you know, Sam. So who wants to bug my apartment?
Narcotics. But we'll have access.
We? The service, do you mean?
We are interested in Tew also. All those trips he takes to the Chinese mainland, for instance.
Oh, well, the service is different. Okay, I'll help the service.
That's what I'd like to hear. That's like the Lizzie I knew. We think something or somebody important is coming in from Red China soon by sea. The Admiral Nelson has been out touring the out islands these last days. No little bird told us what the captain was looking for.
Drake's the captain, Sam. And anyway, he has his favourite island.
We won't touch Drake, Scout's Honour. What island, Lizzie?
Po Toi. It's where he landed in 1951. Drake goes there now and again, just to look at where he came ashore.
A particular spot?
A piece of beach. Of course, Po Toi has a festival about now each year. Drake always goes to that.
Let's have another, shall we, for old time's sake. Years since I saw you. Two more. Same as before.
If Drake or that Tew ever knew I'd talk to you, they'd crucify me. I mean, crucify.
You'd better not breathe a word, Lizzie. We shan't.
Do you know Jerry Westerby, Sam?
The press hand? Yeah, just about. Why?
I wondered where he got to. I rather liked him. Even if he did give me a bad time. He knew all about Ricardo, you know. Said he was still alive. And all in front of Tew.
He's left Hong Kong, so I was told. His papers sent him to cover some war or another. It's what happens to news hands.
Ricardo's lair. House on stilts. In the middle of a wide path with all-round vision. Somebody moving between the stilts. Only a couple of Thai girls. Field at the back. Shed big enough to house a beechcraft. Right. Here we go, sport.
My name's Westerby. I think you knew I was coming. I'm a poor journalist with expensive ideas.
What do you want, Westerby? Somebody told me you got killed on the way.
I want to blackmail Drake Coe. A couple of million bucks. Your freedom, Ricardo. 2 million each. With my brains and your information and Lizzie Worthington's figure, a dead cert.
Come up, Westerby! Basty girls! Up the stairs and through the trap! Slowly!
Gun barrel like a cycloptic eye above. Two will have told him, here, Westby, out. Kill him afterwards, perhaps? This man is Two's prisoner, remember, sport. Up into the room. Small arms museum. AK-47 on tripod.
Take off your jacket, please, Westby.
Grenades, ammo, fridges, ice maker, no electricity, nudes on walls, books on company law, virgin.
You play tennis?
First child.
You got muscles like a gorilla. I like very much tennis. I'm an extremely good player. Why you come here unarmed, huh? Sometimes you gotta hide with the enemy to get away from your friends. How you get here, Westerby?
Oh, you saw the car. Found a local driver, Mickey.
Now I know the man. I ride horses, Westerby. Box, shoot. I got degrees. I fly an airplane. I know a lot of things in life. I am very intelligent. But owing to unforeseen circumstances, I live in the jungle like a monkey. That what you call a paranoid, Westerby? Somebody who think everybody is enemy?
I rather think it is.
Well, these paranoid got real enemies.
Well, with 2 million bucks, I'm sure most of them could be eliminated.
Westerby, I must tell you honestly, I regard your business proposition as crap. You know, Westerby, I definitely heard you had an accident. Hey, want a drink?
Yeah, I'll pour it for myself.
They say you took my little Lizzie out to dinner. That true?
I took her out to dinner, yes.
You screw her?
Mr. Tew joined us.
What's that mean, Westerby? You see Lizzie again, tell her. I, Ricardo, forgive her. I train her. I tell her a lot of things. Art, culture, politics, business, religion. I teach her how to make love. And I send her into the world. You know that movie, Pygmalion? Well, I'm the professor. A girl like that, from nowhere... An English scrubber. She got a kid, you know that? She walk out on him, imagine. Such a mother, huh? Worse than a whore. You gone deaf, Weatherby? I said outline to me your business proposition.
I thought if you told me what it was Drake Coe wanted you to do that time you flew for him, and if Lizzie could get me alongside Coe, and we all kept our hands on the table, we'd have a good chance of taking him to the cleaners.
Are you crazy, Weatherby, crazy?
Not if Coe was asking you to fly into the China mainland for him, I'm not. And that's only for owners.
China, Weatherby, China? The China mainland? You talk through your ass. What makes you think I fly to China for coal? Ridiculous, laughable.
My editor makes me think it's port. My editor gets to know things. Such as, soon after you died in that crash, you sold a great lump of opium to a friendly American narcotics man. Coe's opium, not yours to sell at all. Meant for the China mainland.
Your editor is crazy, too. I don't like your editor, Weatherby.
My editor thinks Coe wants to reintroduce the opium habit to the mainland, slowly creating new markets, you follow me? Now, if this is so, Coe would go a very long distance to prevent the information getting out.
Those Chinese can be very hard people, Weatherby.
Yeah, sure, sport, sure. That's not all we know, either. There's another aspect altogether, even more lucrative.
What is that, Weatherby? What are these other aspects you refer to? Kindly tell me, please.
Oh, I think I'll keep that warm while you give me a little something in return.
You're some crazy fellow. Holy Maria, that Chewy, a pretty rough guy. You mess with a guy like Chewy, you got pretty big trouble.
We'll beat them at their own game. Coe is a very legal-minded man. We'll use English lawyers. We'll collect witnesses. We'll stack it so high a board of bishops couldn't knock it down.
I got 50 acres of land in Bali, Weatherby. You come into business with me. We develop these things together. Build 50 houses, make a colony.
I need hard facts. Dates, times, places. When you've told me, I'll trade you. I'll explain those other aspects to you.
Sure. We screw him. Sure we do. In Vietnam, I fall in love with this girl, Weatherby. I fall in love. This is very rare and holy to me. Black hair.
Let him go on. Straight back. He's no one to talk to about himself. So let him confess. With confession, all you have to do is tilt the stream a little.
Bits of bodies.
Enough,
dope.
Ricardo.
Jesus, that was some shooting enough. That war. Twice I fly into Yunnan province. I am fearless, Weatherby. Totally. Even my good looks do not make me afraid for myself. Listen, I snap my fingers, Lizzie, come back to me, okay?
So how did it go with Tew and Drake?
You confuse me, Weatherby. If I tell you too much, I have to shoot you. I'm a very talkative person, you follow me?
About Tew, Ricardo, tell me.
When Chu came to Vientiane, I got Lizzie to find out about him. Found he was a big cat in China Air Sea. He came to me, the best pilot in Vientiane. Wanted me to fly opium to a friendly country. I told him I never yet heard an Asian country with a friendly neighbor. Chu laughed at my joke.
Did he offer a price?
Pay my debts, keep me on salary with Indo Charter, tell me the way.
So, when did the kissing stop?
What the hell you mean?
Well, how long did you draw your pay and kick around before Tew gave you orders?
6 weeks. Listen, I tell you how it happened. We went up country then. They gave me a dandy little beach craft. Then Tew tells me I am to fly into China, 50 miles in. He gives me instructions where I land. Here I am to unload the opium, collect the package. You don't say what kind. He tell me, you do that and keep your big mouth shut, and we will look after you all your life like you are our son. But you screw us, or you go big-mouthing around town, we definitely will kill you. Weatherby, I am very concerned. I see you go wrong. I see Ricardo in a wooden cage, no women, extremely lousy food, no place to stand or sleep or sit. Called an imperialist spy and running dog to be locked up all my life in China for pushing opium. I am not enthusiastic.
So you took off and headed north?
I never flew so good in my life. North, then east, very low over the mountains, then south again. After that, I became like the Flying Dutchman. I flew, I hid, I kept away from everyone. Chu had me posted dead. I did not object to being dead.
Where was Lizzie in all this?
Lizzie? In Vientiane. On the moon, in bed with Chu. What the hell I care?
Did she know of the deal with Chu?
I never knew a woman so irrelevant. Listen. I gave her to Draco, okay? I make her fortune. She knew nothing, Wesby. You referred to another aspect of the case. Kindly advise me what it is, Wesby.
Ko has a younger brother in Red China. Used to be called Nelson, now a big beef with Peking. Ko's been trying to get him out for years. The package you were to bring back was Brother Nelson. That's why Ko was going to love you like his own son if you brought him out. And kill you if you didn't.
Holy Maria.
Now, with that information, if we can't touch Ko for $5 million, we're crazy.
$5 million bucks. Listen, that's some smart research you guys did. $5 million. That's some smart editor you work for. Hey, you be my business partner, like you say. I need an Englishman in my life. You hold me down a little. You do that for Ricardo?
No problem.
$5 million. Hey, what a deal, horse rider. Listen, I gotta tell the girls below some little thing. You play with the guns a minute, okay?
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course. Jesus. Personal family thing regarding girls. You stay there, Wesby.
My driver's with the girls. So where's Ricardo going? Out? Write something for him. Address. Reach me here any time, sport. Yeah. That looks authentic. South Sui Street. Marvellous. Oh. He likes contracts. All right. I, Jerry Westerby, do solemnly swear to share with my friend, Captain Tiny Ricardo, all proceeds relating to our joint exploitation of his life story. There he is. Been visiting the car, has he? Something has been arranged. He's coming back.
It's getting dark out there. You stay the night, okay? I talk to the girls. They like you.
Yeah, I've got to get on, sport. I've written this out.
Huh? Yeah. Sure, if you've got to go.
Yeah, I have an English lawyer in Bangkok. I'll have him draft a legal deposition. I'll bring it back to you to sign.
Fair enough, my friend. Go well, my friend.
Super. Yeah. Well, I'll be back. Are we seeing you?
Fine man. Those girls say he's some pretty fine lover.
I checked the oil, checked the engine. No plastic.
What you say? Plastic? Cargo, quick, quick.
Mickey, is the petrol gauge accurate?
Accurate? Ah, sure, sure, read right.
When we arrived near the house at the village, you had half full gas.
Okay.
You still have half full gas. You put any gas in, you fill car.
No.
Stop the car. Get out, what? Fast.
No.
We run. Into the scrub, down.
Okay.
Head down, Mickey, down.
It's a Viet Cong invention. You take out the pin of a grenade, put an elastic band over the spring, slip the grenade into the petrol tank, and wait for the petrol to eat through the elastic band. That took longer than it should, Major. Ricardo must have used thick rubber bands.
Is that so? Is that your copy?
It's all I have to report. You'll send it as arranged.
Thank you, Mr. Westerby. Your orders are to remain here while we dispatch your signal. Your orders are to stand by for confirmation and further instructions. Does that figure, sir?
Of course. Super.
Heard the glad news by any chance?
What news is that, sport?
We just lost the war, Mr. Westerby. Yes, sir. Last of the brave just gotten themselves scraped off the roof of the Saigon embassy by chopper like a bunch of rookies caught with their pants down in a whorehouse. I'll go send your letter home to Mommy. How is the Queen, by the way?
Just my luck. A spookhouse major doesn't like the Brits.
Oh, tired.
Am I tired? Oh, have a whiskey. Not that it helps. That is all I want. Oh, that is the last straw. Well, where's your next stop, Jerry Sport? Somewhere to sleep. Oh, I think of you, Lizzie. Haven't slept the way I like since old Frosty on the slab. Bloody music. Bloody end of the world music. Oh, come on, hurry up. Major lost the war. I want to know. Where to next? Who now? And I want to see you again, Lizzie.
That music driving you mad?
Just about.
You'd rather have Land of Hope and Glory. Okay. Plane leaves for Bangkok, 1-100. Read the signal, Mr. Westerby. I have. The cousins will fly you to Bangkok. From Bangkok, you will proceed immediately to London, England. You will on no account return to Hong Kong. Mission accomplished. London, England, by flight of your choosing. You will on no account return to Hong Kong.
I think our meeting went very well. All things considering, Peter.
I suppose so, George.
Suppose so. You have some reservations?
Not reservations so much, George, as observations.
Such as?
When you told Martello about Nelson Coe, the great surprise, Martello overdid it and his team the opposite. They knew, George. They already knew.
You think so? It is likely. You're probably right. However, the operation is ours to run. If we catch Nelson, he is ours, not Martello's.
But George, Enderby, Laken even, they want to give the whole operation over to the cousins. I know you've stopped them, but why are they trying to shop us?
You think they are? Obviously you do. I imagine they have some political contrivance in mind. Now, we leave for Hong Kong this evening. Have we heard anything more of Drake Kerr?
No, George. He's still silent, not moving. We have heard, though, that Tew has returned from the China mainland and is with Ko.
We should be staying in Martello's bunkhouse in Hong Kong, did I tell you?
Yes, you did. Do you think the news of schoolboys meeting with Ricardo has reached Drake Ko?
I'm sure it has. Ricardo has good relations, so it seems, with the Thai army in his vicinity. He'd use their facilities. Schoolboy did a very good job. Difficult assignment carried out with unswerving loyalty. Where is he now?
On his way here, London. At least, that's what he should be doing. Of course, he has to make his own way. Fly out from Bangkok.
Sorry, George. Dear old George. Got to go to Hong Kong first. Got to see that Lizzie Worthington is all right. You see, George, Lizzie is my kind of loser. And I love her. And I want to remain with her. And you see, George, now that the cousins are in on this, it'll be a much rougher ball game than the sort you would play. And Lizzie could get hurt bad. And I can't leave her to cope alone, can I, George? She's got that bastard Sam Collins on her back, I know that. And he'll wave the services Union Jack at her. And she'll respond by offering her all to Queen and Country. Now, I think I read her right, George. I don't know what you have in store for Drake Coe, George. But whatever it is, I reckon Lizzie is likely to find herself suffering. And without friends. And I remember Frosty, George. So it's high time I took some matters into my own hands. And Lizzie.
No one knows we're even in the building, George.
Yes, indeed, Marty.
Murphy here is the invisible man.
sir, the map we have in front of us shows...
Yeah, cool it a moment, Murphy, will you? Let Mr. Smiley and Mr. Gwillem find their feet.
I'm all right, thank you, Marty. I mean, this is a bunker. Below ground, no windows, out of the world, like all bunkers.
Only superficially, Peter. In fact, we're in direct communication with all our Hong Kong operators. The guys on the street, the guys in the apartment next to Lizzie Worthington's, the whole schmear. Although George seems to have a source all his own.
Just odds and ends, Marty, laid out long ago.
Sure. I'll believe you, George. Okay, Murphy, lay it on the line.
Sir, the Chinese junk fleet left Swatow on the night of Friday, April 25th. They'd sailed south and then southwest of the fishing beds marked A, B, C, and D on the chart, south of Hong Kong.
Yeah, thank you, Murphy. And we can assume it is the intention of the junk containing Nelson Ko to hit Hong Kong waters on the night of May 4, the moon then being in its last quarter. Murphy?
Sir, if we follow precedence right down the line...
We do. The escape is to be an exact repetition of Drake's own journey in 51.
Then our junk should hit the southernmost out-island of Po Toi at 2000 hours tomorrow and rejoin the fleet along the Pearl River in time to make Canton the following day, May 5.
That size of junk, can she come close in?
She can come as close as she wishes, provided always the sea is not too rough.
So what does Nelson do, George, to lose his fleet?
He'll hang back. The fleets like to move in column stern. Nelson will tell his skipper to take the rear position.
I guess you know, George. Murphy, what identifications are used by these fleets?
Well, very little is known in that area, sir. Out at sea, they show no lights at all, mostly for fear of pirates.
I expect Nelson's junk to carry three lights, two green lights vertically on the stern mast, and one red light to starboard.
How the devil do you know that, George?
Ah, well, Peter... Now, Po Toi Island, the one which gives the group their name, is of volcanic rock, 790 feet high, with a shrinking population of about 200. Their festival is tomorrow night.
Well, this festival of Tin Hau, sir, is concentrated in the one main harbor right here on the southwest point. Mr. Smiley's informed prediction has the co-landing operation taking place here in a small cove on the east side of the island.
Okay,
well, that side of the island has no population, and at festival time, even the odd traveler is unlike...
Where? At his old flat. All right, hold everything, I'll tell him. George, that field man of yours, Westerby, he's not done what he should. He's here in Hong Kong.
Tell them to watch for the girl, Lizzie Worthington. He'll try to contact her.
He's been to his flat. He got a surprise. The guy he led it to, an American reporter, was murdered in it. Our agents just found him. Westerby left fast.
He'll try for the girl.
Lizzie! Me! Jerry, remember?
Jerry, how did you...
Find you. Long story. I'll tell you some other time. Let's take a taxi.
But my car's...
I know. Spot you a mile off in that. Here's a cab.
Where are we going?
I'll tell you when we get there. In you go.
Oh. A bordello. This is where they said I'd end up.
The last place to look for us.
You put a gun in my back, didn't you?
I thought you took it very well.
Hadn't got much choice, had I? What's going on? I get abducted to a very smart and secluded bordello. Taken to the best bedroom. Look at that bed. And you sit and look as if you've seen... I don't know. Something awful.
I let my flat to an American pal while I was away, called Luke. Came back to find him dead in it. Head in pieces. It should have been me, Lizzie. He'd been dead for weeks.
You? Why, Jerry?
I paid a visit to your old friend, Ricardo. He seemed surprised I hadn't had an accident. He said so twice. Then tried to fix one for me.
Jerry, what the hell do you want?
You. For keeps.
Is Sam Mellon a friend of yours?
Same firm. up to yesterday. But no friend. I'm free and willing, Lizzie.
I know, I know. Only, what's happening, Jerry? Why bring me here? Not just to tell me you want me for keeps.
The Cove thing is getting very grubby. It's not going to work out well. They're very rough boys you're mixed up with. Coe included. Looked at cold, he's a grade A public enemy. Well, I thought you'd like a leg out of it. That's why I came back. My Sir Galahad act. It's just that I don't quite know what's gathering round you. Melon, all that. And I've seen two men who died nastily. So, maybe we should unbutton it together and see what's there.
I'm frightened, Jerry. I don't know what's happened to Drake.
He's not been in touch.
No. He always phones me.
You bought Ricardo his life, didn't you?
Chinese arrange marriages every day. It was necessary I got free of Rick that way. Drake and Lisa had a marriage of a sort.
Lisa? Why not Lizzie?
There'd been a Lisa in Drake's life. The fortune teller said he'd find another. So we gave Lizzie a shove over to Lisa. I started again. New name. Worth. No police record. Then that sod Melon marches in and says he'll get them to rewrite it.
What did you have to tell him?
About Po Toi Island, where Drake landed in 51. Somebody's coming there, landing where Drake landed, tomorrow night, and tomorrow's the festival.
Do you know Drake has a brother, Nelson?
Yes. Drake told me the last time we were on Po Toi.
This place where Drake landed, could you take me to it?
Yes. If it will help Drake. You see, Drake never broke a promise in his life.
It will help Drake, Lizzie. And Nelson. We can get a boat over tonight, later. I know someone who'll run us. Will you come?
If you say. If it'll help Drake.
A car's been found in an underground car park in Central.
Well, at least he's doing something, George. Westerby's doing something, more than we are.
What do you want George to do, Marty? Walk the streets till he finds him? Westerby's a professional. He can lie up for months in a town like this, and we won't get a cent of him.
Well, you guys can shake this town out any time. George, there's a man of yours out there who seems bent on running amok. Nelson Coe is the biggest catch you or I are ever likely to land.
Marty, is Drake Coe still on his boat?
I haven't heard otherwise.
Surveillance, are sure no one's left it.
It's just possible Westerby may try to reach Co. You have a static post at the quayside. Tell them to keep eyes in the back of their heads. The Admiral Nelson hasn't moved, I take it?
No, sir. Still in Po Toi Bay. They say she's a fine sight, surrounded by hundreds of small craft.
There's the Admiral Nelson, Jerry.
Super. Any sign of Kerr?
No. He's probably having a kip after lunch.
It was hot enough. Is this really the way he brought you, Lizzie?
I told you. It's just up and up and up and up and bingo. What do you think I am, a bloody nitwit?
I didn't say a thing. Come on. Up and up and up and up.
Well, here we are. This is where he brought me.
It's colder up here. Mind the wind, Lizzie. Cliff edge. The wind hits the face and shoots up.
There it is. That sort of inlet.
He landed down there. That brown rock on that beach.
Yes. There's a narrow little path down on your right.
Got it. Come back a bit. Now listen. It's his brother Nelson. Drake's bringing him out of China tonight by sea. That must be it. The trouble is, other people would like a chat with Nelson. And that's where Sam Collins' Melon comes in.
Now, I think you should get the hell out of here. Drake's not going to want you around, that's for sure.
Is he going to want you?
Well, not at first. Lizzie, go back to the harbour. Catch a lift. There's plenty of boats.
If you say. Jerry, tell him I kept faith. I stuck to the deal.
I'll see you at the hotel tomorrow morning.
Tell him I stuck to the deal.
Go now, Lizzie. See you tomorrow.
And tell him they made it impossible. They fenced me in. Goodbye, Jerry.
Willem? Yes? Aberdeen?
Sir.
When?
Navy intelligence has the junk fleet making 6 knots and slap on course.
They found the girl. What did she say? Yes? I see. Right. We'll come back to you. Thank you.
She's with the chief of police. They picked her up at Aberdeen Harbour as she landed. She'd catched a lift back from Potoy.
So what's the story? Where's Westerby?
Apparently, she said they'd had a row and left by different boats. The chief says give him another hour with her.
And where's Drake Coe, Peter?
The Admiral Nelson hasn't sailed. Still in Potoy Harbour.
Well, she told Westerby what she told Collins, then he stayed on the island.
With what in mind? George, for what purpose is that man remaining on that island?
He's waiting.
For what, may I inquire?
Whatever we do, we must let Nelson land.
Why don't we just go right in with the choppers and scoop Nelson off that end junk?
Murphy, shut up.
Now, right up to the last minute, Drake Coe has one sanction. He can signal his brother not to come ashore. The merest hint of something wrong could persuade him to do that.
Okay, George, well, what does Westerby want? Now, don't tell me he's one of those Cold War converts with a middle-aged mission to wash his soul in public.
Not Jerry Westerby, never.
Maybe he's gone mad. Maybe he thinks his mission is to foul up this operation. Maybe he's got a blackmail thing going, only I can't see how the hell that can be.
Well, it could be that he's getting some of his own back, so to speak.
You mean he no longer believes, George? He's changing sides or playing his own ballgame?
Perhaps he sees it all as a conspiracy, Marty.
Does he? Well, which is it going to be, that's all? The conspiracy or the cock-up?
What does it matter? He's on the island, Marty. We daren't send anyone in after him. Not now. Things are too critical.
If he's killing time at the festival, maybe we could seek him out. He's head and shoulders taller than most in the crowd. We could get to him with a minimum of disturbance.
I don't think he'll be in the crowd. He's a trained fieldman. He'll see the danger. I'm sure he'll get to where the Worthington girl showed him Drake Coe landed. And he'll go to ground there.
It's what the hell motivates Westerby. If we knew that, we wouldn't be playing blind man's buff.
Look, the girl belongs to Drake Coe, right? Perhaps he's going to try to trade for her.
Oh, shut up, Murphy.
Murphy could be right. Look at it like this. Westerby is gone on the girl, hopelessly. He likes women, does Jerry, but he's a bad chooser. She's his sort. He gets to Coe before Nelson lands, tells him the bad news, asks for Lizzie. George?
Oh, yes, it's quite possible. Yes. I wonder if he's thought of the aftermath of the betrayal. I doubt it.
Murphy, I apologize.
Thank you, sir.
So, we must assume Westerby will intercept Coe just before or as his brother's coming ashore. Right, George?
It's as good an assumption as any.
Okay. That means Drake can signal Nelson not to land. Which means the whole of last month's work, the whole expensive gut-busting caboosh, is null and void. We are out of business, probably for good. All of us. We blew it. We let one lovesick, crazy, aristocratic fieldman blow the hooter on us. George, I don't know about you, but I reckon no administration except the U.S. Mail will ever employ me again.
And if Nelson does land and can't get back to his junk, then Drake hides him on Potoy, doesn't put him on his launch, so that when we stop it and search it...
I think the landing party had better be alerted. It's our only chance.
Put the contingency plan in operation?
Yes, at once.
Murphy, give the signal.
Sir.
Which of you guys are coming, George?
Well, Sam Collins is already with you, and...
Air Red.
Peter is joining you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. Will it be dark on that island now?
Let me see. No, dusk. But it's dark in 15 minutes.
Dark now. Full moon, not yet clear. Listen. Drake won't bring his large cruiser to this bit of coast, I'm sure. Too damn risky. Lee shore to break up on. if he draws too much water. But Nelson has to come to this beach. So Drake gets here by sampan or rubber dinghy. Listen. Nothing. Better get down to the beach now, Gerald Sport. What? Is there something there, offshore? Can't make out from here. Better risk crawling down to the sea's edge. Gently. There. Sampan at anchor. Near enough to walk off. Here they come.
Turn it down. Gian. Sipunchok. Zera.
Welcome ashore, Drake Curl. Lizzie's lover, Nelson's brother. And welcome, Mr. Tew, killer. Tonight, I'll have you. Here they come. A cozy fang to help them relax. Good. Don't bloody breathe, even. Now, to get Mr. Tew. Distraction of attention technique. Their backs to me, 6 paces away. Handful of pebbles against the cliff face, and he'll come running.
Hello, Tew. That was for what you tried to do to me. What you did to Luke and Frosty. I do like to have done to Lizzie. And I'll have them gone. Oh, you'll live. But you'll never be so sure of yourself again.
Hey, Mr. Westerby! The English youthman!
The same, sport.
You're a very political man, Mr. Westerby. What do you want here?
Come up here, Mr. Kerr. I want to talk.
Mr. Ricardo tells my people it is your aim to blackmail me. Is money your aim, Mr. Westerby?
Message from your girl. She says she keeps faith. She's on your side.
I don't have a side, Mr. Westerby. I'm an army of one. What do you want? My people tell me you are some kind of hero. Heroes are very political persons, Mr. Westerby. I don't care for heroes.
I came to warn you. They want Nelson. They know about him. You mustn't take him back to Hong Kong. They know he's arriving tonight. They've got plans that will last him the rest of his life. And you as well.
What do you want, Mr. Westerby?
A deal?
Nobody wants a deal. They want a commodity. A deal obtains for them the commodity. Tell me, please. What do you want?
You bought yourself Lisa with Ricardo's life. I thought I might buy her back with Nelson's freedom. I want her for myself. I'll speak to my people for you. I know what they want. And my people will settle.
A political settlement, Mr. Westerby. With your people? I have made many political settlements with them. They are not to be trusted, Mr. Westerby.
Look, your brother's right behind you, Mr. Coe.
The fleet?
In the path of the moon. One junk is your brother's.
The lamp. Connect it.
You hold the lamp. Give me the leads.
Got it. Now it should work.
It works, Mr. Westerby.
Wait, you're signaling too soon. 10, 11, 12 junks. Let me see, Mr. Kerr. Now, which one?
The last. The last junk.
Got it. Signal?
One red, one green.
Right. Red. screen.
Ah, there's a reply.
Super. Now, can he fix on that?
Sure, sure, he will fix on that.
Then leave it alone. Don't do any more. Will his junk carry lights?
Two green on the mast, one light to starboard.
Will it come on shore?
No, only to the headland. Our sampan will collect him from the junk. Bring him here.
Super. Listen. Nothing. How we wait, Mr. Kerr.
Mr. Westerby, I am advising you sincerely. If you are played a trick on me for my brother Nelson, your Christian father's hair will be a most comfortable place by comparison with what my people do to you. But if you help me, I give you everything. That is my contract. And I never broke a contract in my life.
This is no trick, Mr. Kerr. Can you see the junk still? Look through the eyepiece.
No. Oh, yes. One, alone. Here, take a look, take a look.
Marvelous. There she is. Two green, one red. In she comes.
There. There's a sampan. That's the Westerby. See? See?
Yes, they're beside the junk. Listen. It's all quiet. Thought it was an engine. Patrol boat. No.
Is in the sampan. Nelson. My brother. There.
Here he comes. Bring him back here, Mr. Coe. Nelson. Short as Drake is tall. Mr. Coe, don't stand there all night.
Oh, my God. Get back in the boat. Hurry! Hurry, look! Helicopters! Three bloody choppers! They've come to lift Nelson, Mr. Coe! Look! They're lowering a cage to snatch him! Keep him out of the searchlights!
Get off!
It's coming down! A cage to hold him! Oh, my God, they've got him! They've got him! They're winching him up!
Nelson!
This is me! Westerby! Aye, bastards! Oh, what the hell? What more do you want?
Zanny. Jerry Westerby is dead. Many of you here knew him better than I did, and I don't think he liked me all that much. I admired him. He was a great field man, a professional to his fingertips, but a professional who had flair, the never-ending flow of enthusiasm. He died a noble death, and he died as Operation Dolphin came to its triumphant conclusion. Triumph, which owed a great deal to Jerry's heroic part in it. We shall mourn him as a member of the circus, and as a friend, and as the sort of person rarely met with. The sort we shall not forget. Thank you.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Saul Enderby. I would like to congratulate you all upon the triumphant, as Sam Collins so rightly said, triumphant conclusion of Operation Dolphin. You may like to know that the final object of the exercise, Comrade Nelson Coe, is in safe hands in America.
And darling George, is he in safe hands too?
George Smiley is having a rest, Miss Sachs. Not surprisingly, he's suffering from some strain.
Smiley was under strain all the time.
Has he been put out to grass?
Go and see him yourself, Peter. He's at home in Chelsea. At present, I shall be in his chair, with San, as you know, as head of operations.
So, Sir S. Enderby said go and see you, George. So I have. Only I brought Molly along for moral, or is it immoral, support. We haven't interrupted you.
Good gracious, no. Just writing a letter to Anne.
Is she well?
Oh, very well, thank you. She's in Wiltshire for the present.
And you, George? Are you well?
Oh, very, thank you.
The fifth floor was told of Westerby's death by Sam Collins, who made quite a moving speech.
Did you know Sam was being made head of ops, George?
They did consult me, Peter, Enderby and Lakin, that is, on the grounds that Sam is a hustler, which it seems is what is required at present. It's probably a good appointment.
All part of a conspiracy, of course.
Conspiracy, Peter?
Which you knew about.
Peter, you promised not to run hares.
George doesn't mind, I'm sure. Do you realise, Molly Meakin, that Nelson was snatched not only under Coe's nose, but ours? I saw it, as I saw Westerby killed.
Well, Jerry was quite another matter. Jerry was a conspiracy of one. Do we know what happened to that Worthington girl?
The blonde adventuress.
Hong Kong press report, George. She got sent down for 3 years, drug running.
Was she doing that during Dolphin? I thought she was Coe's mistress. Did he use her in such a manner?
No, the drug running was a few years earlier, from Vientiane.
Yes, she was very much Jerry's sort of woman.
What does that mean, please?
Unsuccessful. The sort will be found out and misused.
Misused is the right word. She ran drugs for one Mellon from Vientiane.
Also for Ricardo, remember? I wonder how her parents will take that. Oh, what chance did she have? They were both quite mad, you know.
So I gathered. One or two other Chinese were put away also, Mr. Tu included. Jerry nearly killed him on that beach.
I'd never thought of Jerry as a violent man. That is, unless in self-defense, so to speak.
I met him once only. I thought he was quite dangerous.
Ah.
To women, I mean. If he set his cap.
That's very perceptive of you. And Drake Coe? Has anyone touched him at all?
No, he'll still be invited to the governor's tea parties.
Have you thought, without Nelson's thumbprint, the gold seam money can't be moved? And it's not a matter of sending the print. Nelson has to be seen to make it.
I bet the cousins have a team trying to work that one out.
Are you coming back, George?
Saul Enderby should make a good chief for these times. The old order has to give way.
Connie says she's packing her trunks. DeSalis had lunch with Oliver Lakin, but it didn't seem to help.
Oh, no, it wouldn't. Still, Roddy Martindale got nothing out of it, did he?
No, thank God. You must have known, George, that Enderby and Martell were in each other's pockets.
Yes, Molly did explain to me how they went fishing together.
In more ways than one. I mean, Enderby conspired with the cousins against you and for your job.
The cousins knew they were to get first bite at Nelson from the moment they knew he existed.
That was the trading Enderby did for their support. Without their support, he'd not be sitting in your chair now, George.
Well, Jerry's mavericking left me with no option.
No, I know. And Sam Collins played his part. There wasn't a thing he didn't pass on to Martello.
There you're wrong, Peter. I only let him tell Martello stuff of little importance. Sam played his part most loyally, as he knew he had to.
Or else. But there was a conspiracy, wasn't there? And you knew about it. Perhaps you even welcomed it.
I can't answer your question, Peter, not directly. I was writing something to Anne, though, which has a bearing. Let me read it to you both. I honestly do wonder, without wishing to be morbid, how I reached this present pass. So far as I can ever remember of my youth, I chose the secret road because it seemed to lead straightest and furthest toward my country's goal. The enemy in those days was someone we could point at and read about in the papers. Today, all I know is that I've learned to interpret the whole of life in terms of conspiracy. That's the sword I've lived by. And as I look round me now, I see it is the sword I shall die by as well. These people terrify me. But I am one of them. If they stab me in the back, then at least that is the judgment of my peers.
The Honourable Schoolboy by John le Carré, dramatized for radio by Frederick Bradnam, Jerry Westerby was played by Martin Jarvis, and George Smiley by Peter Vaughan. Lizzie Worthington, Natasha Pine, Peter Gwillam, John Rowe, Connie Sachs, Mary Wimbush, Dr. Salis, Cyril Shapps, Tiny Ricardo, Peter Marinka, Martello, Paul Maxwell, Craw and Drake Coe, Henry Stamper, Mr. Tew, Roger Hume, Molly Meekin, Heather Barrett, Murphy, Terry Malloy, the American Major, David Van, Sam Collins, Alexander John, and Saul Enderby, Ronald Baddeley. The theme was composed by Stephen Hancock. The play was directed in our Birmingham studios by Roger Pine. Martin Jarvis is a National Theatre player.